This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 115. Tom, how's it going?
Pretty good. It's warm.
It is warm.
Mm.
That's what February is.
Well, hopefully we'll get the rest of that rain later in the week.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Farmers will be happy.
Oh, everybody will be happy.
Mm.
That's what we want. More rain, more often. We'll be reining in the news stories for you today, which will be great.
That happened.
Yeah. I have got a Sandra Bullock quiz for you.
Wow.
It's
very specific.
Very specific. Tried not to make it too difficult.
Did you find a lot of the answers online?
Of course I did.
Did you think I was going to say on?
Yes. And I was really upset that you didn't. You can do it later though.
Good.
We want to unpack our thoughts and feelings about the Good Place finale, no more ever Good Place.
Yeah. That feels.
One. Yeah. Whole heap of trailers, couple of watching suggestions, and some news stories. Should we crack into your news story of the day?
Sure. There was one that I'm really excited about, so excited about that normally I would push this further back in the queue, but I'm jumping straight into it because I'm so amped. Okay. So Super Bowl was yesterday, and I'm sure we're going to talk about some of the trailers and stuff, but one of the ads was Bill Murray back as in Groundhog Day, which was great. But that ties into what I'm so excited about. So Sundance Festival has just happened.
Right.
And there was a new film set a new record for the selling for the highest fee at Sundance, which is a film called Palm Springs. It sold for something like $15 million and 69 cents.
That's specific.
And makes it the highest seller by 69 cents.
Okay, right.
And it was The Lonely Island. It's their new movie.
Oh.
So it's starring Andy Samberg.
Okay, so is it feature length?
Mm-hmm. So it's a full movie. It stars Andy Samberg as a nihilist at a wedding. There's a destination wedding that everyone's gone to in Palm Springs. And he's this guy that's just trashing the day and really not involved with it. And one of the bridesmaids wondering what's going on with him. And then she somehow gets sucked into a weird Groundhog Day experience with the wedding and finds out that he's been stuck in it for 500 years or something. That's why he's so over it.
Obviously, I know you're going to love it, specifically because last year the Bash Brothers Netflix special was your favorite thing of all time.
Yeah.
But this also sounds like it's going to be super funny.
Apparently it's hilarious. I had people laughing the whole way through, but it's also just like a really good romantic comedy. And this has the most wide appeal of anything that The Lonely Island have done.
Because there's a wedding there, you've got the opportunity to throw in a lot of cameos.
Yes.
So I'm pumped about that.
Well, I know J.K. Simmons is in there and apparently has a very meaty, fun role. Yes.
Ooh, all right. Intrigued I am.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Here's a new audiobook your kids will love. Thumpy the Bass Drum.
Hi, I'm Thumpy, and I should have a big, booming, thumping bass drum sound, but I don't, and that's okay.
And it is okay, until the evil drummer tries to use Thumpy as a bongo.
Hey, this is really not on, champ. How would you like it if I accused you of being a baby who makes stupid, lame baby sounds? What if I turned you into a newborn, but I left your adult brain inside the tiny body? You wouldn't like it. Not at all. Not one bit. You, sir, have made me mad. Friends, activate. Come on, mates. Let's show the world how beats are really made. I'll bongo you in a minute.
The story of percussion instruments joining forces to protect one of their own. A tale of percussion solidarity and noise. Thumpy the Bass Drum. Out in audiobook form today.
Speaking of roles, I saw that, well, look, if you're a crime genre fan, Toni Collette's locked in to do another Netflix series, and it's crime-related. It's called Pieces of Her. It's a dramatic thriller based on a book from a couple of years ago by Karen Slaughter. 8 episodes.
Karen Slaughter?
Yeah, I know. Like,
man, she's meant to be doing what she's doing.
If she was doing anything else, people would say, you should get into... Anyway, 8 episodes long. It's set in a sort of a sleepy Georgia town where this... violent thing happens, and it sets off an unexpected chain of events for a 30-year-old called Andy and her mother, Laura. Interesting, seeing Toni Collette is only 47, which means teen mum?
Sure, it happens.
It does happen. Anyway, desperate for answers, Andy embarks on a dangerous journey across America, drawing her towards the dark, hidden heart of her family. It kind of is alluding, at least the synopsis that I read, to the fact that maybe Laura, a.k.a. Toni Collette, has some dark history moments. Maybe she's not as good as she potentially has always been as a mother.
Mm.
No release date. I could only find 2020. So if they're only just starting it,
yeah,
they better crack on.
But it doesn't sound like there's any special effects budget or things like that, so they can film it. And
road trip.
Get it out pretty quick.
Yeah, road trip.
Nice.
What else have you got?
From the category of things that I'm too old for,
okay.
They say that Lethal Weapon 5 is back on as a thing that might happen.
Danny
Glover
that.
And Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Why?
Do you think they had this idea around the time when the show was maybe around season 2? When did the main guy from Lethal Weapon TV show leave? Was it after season 1 or had he made season 2?
So he left at the end of season 2. His character was shot in the finale.
And then you got... And
then we got Stifler for season 3 and then that was it. So it was only 3 seasons and that went off the air last year.
But do you think that maybe this idea has been around?
They've been floating this idea for years.
Oh, before
like
the show.
Since Lethal Weapon 4 came out.
That was ages ago. I don't even remember what Lethal Weapon 4 was about. That's how long ago.
I think it was the one with Jet Li.
Okay.
That's as much as I've got. Anyway.
Mm. Lethal Weapon 5.
I don't need to see it. I don't want to see that. Like, I enjoyed the TV show. Give it to some new people. It's
what
one of the things that
do?
Just... Danny Glover said he was too old for that shit in like 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's 31 years ago.
Maybe they'll have to CGI their faces onto stunt actors who do all the stunts.
I just saw Jumanji, whatever it's called. Next Level, not Welcome to the Jungle. Whatever. Danny Glover is in that. He is a very old man.
Mm.
He does not need to have a gun and a badge. I mean, I think they could do something really fun with it if it was he and Mel in a retirement home.
Oh, yeah.
And someone keeps stealing the Jell-O or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
could it be something along the lines of Ghostbusters 3? The latest Ghostbusters that's coming out where it's a next generation sort of thing and the story is very different to the original premise, but they're still calling on the original Ghostbusters as more, I'm assuming, cameo sort of roles.
Sure. Do you have Murtaugh as the grumpy captain now?
Maybe.
Well, that's where the show was going with him, that they were going to push him in that direction.
That's not a bad idea.
But like,
but Wayans, then why?
Wayans was 50, maybe around there, and they were already pushing him into that role. Whereas Danny Glover's like 80 something, and Mel Gibson is tarnished. So it will, you know, you can't see him next to a cop car in a movie and not think about him having an incident.
An incident. Yeah. So, like, I feel like in the lead up to last year's Terminator movie, everyone seemed pretty pumped and excited about it, particularly the fact that Linda Hamilton was going to be back as Sarah Connor.
Mm.
Then the movie came out, didn't do too well in the box office. And, I mean, I kind of thought, and I think everybody else did, that's kind of it, at least for Linda Hamilton being in.
Sure.
I would imagine she's gone, I did it again. It was an encore, and that's that.
She didn't even want to do that one. She got talked into it.
Well, I think she quite enjoyed it.
Yeah?
Because the way she's worded the potential of her coming back, if ever the need be, is pretty open-ended. She sort of said she feels like she's done with playing Sarah Connor. She's pretty happy about it. But she would appreciate a smaller version of a Terminator something where she is just a Linda Hamilton in a smaller role.
So she just wants to be Carrie Fisher in the, in the latest trilogy.
That's right.
Fair.
Just do that.
Be the matriarch role.
Yeah, exactly. So I think maybe she didn't hate it. It did look like a lot of work, though.
Well, was she in anything after Terminator 2?
I'm sure she did. Acting. Really?
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Do you like mysteries?
I love mysteries.
Do you wish you were a numerologist if that was a real thing?
I always wish I was one of those.
Then you probably enjoy that guy that writes the terrible Da Vinci Code books. What's his name?
Dan Brown.
That's a really apt name for his writing style. Hello, my name is Dan Brown.
Karen Slaw's got a much better name.
The older man picked up the Brown book and discovered mysteries. Anyway, I know a few people who are really into those films, and I'm happy for them.
I'm not going to lie. When I read The Da Vinci Code years ago, I was like, that was fun. Mm. And then I watched a movie and I went, oh, I already know all the things.
See, I kind of had the flip of, I think I got a third of the way through Da Vinci Code and was like this, of the book. But the movie, I quite enjoyed because I watched it. My dad loves those movies. He loves the idea
it's
of-
It's Tom Hanks.
It's Tom Hanks solving mysteries in a very comfortable jacket. Like that's every older man's dream. They're doing a Langdon TV series.
Oh, okay. Obviously not with Mr. Hanks himself.
I don't think so, no. Maybe it will be his character's son. I don't think it will be. I think it's just going to be how Amazon do the Jack Ryan show and they've got John Krasinski. It's just, it's a different version.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Look, I do think that will probably be quite popular because the chapters, I remember you could, it was like comic books. When you would get to the bottom of the second page that you were reading, it gave you a little cliffhanger so that you would turn the page read on. Yeah. And Dan Brown books were very much like that. You got to the end of the chapter and you're like, oh, I need to read the next one now because I need to know what happens. So I think his story writing style would lend well to a TV show.
Sure. I'm still surprised that Matthew Riley still hasn't had much stuff adapted.
Mm.
His stuff, similarly, I haven't read anything in a while, but
there's heaps of it.
There's a lot, he pumped out a lot.
Yeah.
But his first few books I found very page-turnery, you know. Kick them off and finish them in a night.
Good holiday books.
Very good holiday books.
Yeah. Mm. You're on holidays, you like to read murder mysteries.
Stephen King. I like to go to the beach and read horrible things.
Because the beach is safe.
Yeah.
YouTube generated $15.1 billion in ad revenue for 2019. That's a fair bit of money. Also, YouTube TV streaming bundle now has more than 2 million subscribers, which I just thought YouTube were big enough to just sort of have a streaming service that nobody really were invested or subscribed to. And they were going to, anyway, YouTube Music, YouTube Premium, they have more than 20 million paid subscribers combined. So they're making $3 billion a year on all of that streaming subscription.
Can you imagine if they made a deal that they would donate 1/100th of a cent to anything, choose your charity, every time someone hit skip ad? Because people are paying for good money to put those ads up there and everyone's waiting for that 5-second mark to hit skip ad.
Can't wait for that moment.
I know from being in that industry, you make a lot of money for that 5 seconds. It doesn't matter about the rest of the ad. It's just that 5 seconds when someone's stuck there.
Yeah.
Charge them.
Those 5 seconds have to count.
Yeah. That's literally stealing our life.
Oh, no. Now I'm never not going to think about that.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Anytime you see an ad online, think about the fact that that is interrupting your conversation, your movement forward and hampering your life.
And I'm always going to think back to about 2001 when that wasn't a thing.
Oh. Remember when pop-up ads were something we hated?
Yeah.
And now you
don't even notice they exist because they do it all the time.
It's embedded or it's paid for in the story. It's just mixed in. Blech.
What I hate are the videos that start automatically, but then when you scroll past them, they become a little window down the bottom.
And the X is so tiny, especially on a phone, trying to hit that.
I don't want to watch that. That's why I scrolled away from it. So frustrating.
Showing, shibby, and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So this is a weird Ouroboros snake tail eating situation here. At some point in a few years, we're getting Matilda, the musical, the movie.
Yeah.
So Matilda, that was a book that got turned into a movie that then got turned into a musical by Tim Minchin.
Right. Yep.
And then that musical is now being adapted into a movie.
There was a story a couple of weeks ago of so Mean Girls was a book that was adapted into a movie.
Yes.
The book didn't have a storyline. Adapted into a movie by Tina Fey, then it was made into a musical, and now Tina Fey is adapting it back from the musical into a movie. Why is everybody on board with this stuff?
I don't know.
It's very confusing.
I blame High School Musical because they've done the movies, and now they're doing the TV series of the like there was a musical
with it. I'm waiting for the book Matilda, which is based off the musical movie, which is based off the musical, which is based off the movie, which is based off the book.
Is that like the play guide?
Yeah,
like
that's
when you
right.
go to the theater?
Yeah. Or it could be the book, which they always call the script or whatever in a musical, don't they?
Mm.
They call it the book. Or is that the music? Is that the sheet music? Or is it everything involved?
Okay. Is there any casting ideas you might have in mind for anyone? Because you've got to get someone who can sing. I want to throw out there for the teacher, Miss Honey, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Great idea. She's got to have someone that's warm and friendly and happy.
Overpoweringly optimistic.
Yeah.
She has to balance against Miss Trunchbull.
Now, Miss Trunchbull, do you know who I would like? And she'd have to play a bit off character. But Nicole Byer.
Oh, okay. I see that. Yeah.
Instead of like super angry, just sassy over it. Yeah.
I like
the voice. I like what you're doing.
I would be quite into Bette Midler. I could see her really vamping it up and having a lot of fun with that.
That's a good casting choice. They would have to film her from right down on the floor because she's not very tall.
No, and to make her really imposing.
Imposing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I watched Matilda again the other day.
It's a good movie.
She's quite into it.
Yeah, I loved it. Is that the one where the kid has to eat cake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up on stage.
I'd watch that again.
It holds up.
Is it a Disney movie?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
Okay.
Danny DeVito, having a lot of fun. Both as the asshole father and the narrator.
Is his wife...
playing his wife.
Pearl, what's her first
Rita
name? Rita. Yeah.
Yes, she's in That's it right. as his wife.
Yeah. Potentially the only time they've played husband and wife. Were they in that show Taxi together?
I think so.
I think it's Tony Danza before Who's the Boss.
On Taxi? Yeah, it's Christopher Lloyd's in it.
Christopher Lloyd's in it, that's right. Way before there was ever a thought of a Back to the Future.
Mm.
Was there that guy, Jim Carrey played him?
Yes.
R.E.M. did a song about him.
Yes, Andy Kaufman.
Mm.
Emil Hirsch might be on there. I might
Emil
be thinking.
Emil Hirsch.
He played... Jeff Goldblum's dad in Independence Day.
Okay. Yep, I know. I actually know who you're talking about, and I'm pretty sure he was in it.
I'm trying to say a way of, I think a very, I don't know how to say that in words.
That's fine. That noise probably was pretty spot on.
Think Eugene Levy.
Yeah. But older.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anything else?
Look, I've got one more brief news story that we don't know much about, and then I think we should talk about a few of the things from Super Bowl or just other trailers.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't know anything more than Owen Wilson is apparently joining the Marvel Universe to be in the Loki TV show. We don't know much about the Loki TV show.
Do you think he's going to let people mess with his hair? Because if he's going to be some sort of superhero, he can't have that hair, right?
I don't see him being a hero at all.
Okay. Is he going to be a bad guy?
In Guardians of the Galaxy, Kurt Russell plays a guy that is bad.
He's got his own planet.
He is his own planet,
essentially. Oh, he is, that's right.
But, like, he, in his mind, is doing something heroic. He doesn't see himself as the villain.
Mm.
No villain ever does. That's what I can see Owen Wilson being there. There's a guy named the Beyonder who doesn't really quite understand the extent of his own powers and often overreaches with things and messes with reality. And I could see that sort of being Owen Wilson. Like, he's a very, like, this character's a pretty affable guy and doesn't.
Yeah, right.
He's just hungry all the time. Do you bring me a burger?
Aren't we all?
Yeah. So I could see him being, you know, Beyonder or Molecule Man or you know, someone, a really oddball. Yeah. Alternatively, there's a character named Star Fox. He's Eros, the god of love. He's Thanos's brother, and his whole deal is you walk near him, you fall in love with him. So he gets a lot of action.
Oh, Owen Wilson would love to do
it. I could see Owen Wilson being a total ladies' man like that.
So there's quite a few options for who he can be within this show.
I think so.
It can be a busy year, I think, for Disney Plus.
Yes. So, look, I'll jump straight into what we saw at the Super Bowl. There was we saw a Black Widow trailer that was only 30 seconds. Didn't show too much more, but one very cool shot of Taskmaster stomping foot down on the shield and it popping up the same way Captain America. Mm. Once again, showing that Taskmaster has a photo reflect. Oh, I can't. Whatever it is, when you see something and
you have like photographic memory sort of thing.
So he has photographic reflexes. He or she has photographic reflexes. If the person see you do something, they can copy it.
It's like Neo learning how to do Kung Fu in the Matrix, but without the computer program.
Very much so. So the only person who can effectively fight Taskmaster is Deadpool, and that's because he's so stupid and insane that you can't learn his move patterns.
Because it's too unpredictable.
Exactly. So that was very cool for Black Widow, but then was a very short bang, bang, bang sort of thing for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yep.
WandaVision, which
this was all within a 30-second commercial, yes. This one. It was a bit full on.
It was a lot. So we'll jump to Loki last. Loki was only one shot. I was looking up at Loki. He was in prison clothes and saying something along the lines of, I'm going to get you all when I get out.
I'm going to have a lot of fun getting you all, something like that.
On his suit, on the prison jumpsuit, it said TVU, which is the, I think it's the time variant unit or something like that, and they're time cops.
Oh.
So if you're messing with the multiverse or with the timeline.
Can't be doing that.
These guys pop in and take you out of the equation.
Mm.
So it's they originally come from the Thor comics, so it kind of makes sense that they would appear in a Loki show.
Yep.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we see Falcon training to throw the shield. Which is a very good idea if you're going to be flinging that thing around. He's not super strong like Captain America was. So trying to throw that thing is probably taking a lot more effort. We do see a quick shot of the new Captain America, not him that the government has set up. In the comics, he's called US Agent or US Agent.
Ah, very clever.
And he is far more anti-hero. He doesn't have he wasn't raised in the 30s. He doesn't have those same ideals. He's a byproduct of when he was created in Vietnam, but I imagine in the movies he's going to be of Afghanistan or Iraq.
Mm.
And so he's a lot more murderous and not as focused on saving civilians at all times and stuff. So causes quite issues, a lot of issues. And he's installed by the government and they're like, you know.
Behave yourself.
Well, Captain America's American branding. We should be in control of that just because, you know, Steve Rogers said you should be Cap. We should get a say. So it looks like that's going to be a big part of it. And then WandaVision was the one that got me really excited. We still don't really know what this thing is about.
Oh, because I had questions for you.
I'll fire away the questions. Okay. I'll give you my speculation, but give me your questions.
So I'm going to go at it from an angle of someone who hasn't read the Marvel comics and someone who likes and has grown up with sitcoms from out the ages.
Yes.
We see her jump through different sitcoms. I've seen on Twitter and Reddit and whatnot people dissecting where the sets are from, like Family Ties.
Yep. I swear one of them is like Blossom or something.
There's the Brady Bunches in there too. You could see the banister on the staircase.
She wears a jacket that's modeled on one of Lucille Ball's.
Yeah.
Well,
there's quite a few of them. So I'm wondering, and my question is, and maybe you don't have the answer, but, you know, we'll discuss it. As someone who hasn't read the comics, who watches sitcoms or has grown up watching them, I wonder if WandaVision is the Marvel program that people who just know TV references could really get into.
I think that's definitely going to be part of it. They've said it's going to be a comedy. Without giving too much away, Scarlet Witch, Wanda, her powers are very unreliable, and they have ebbed and waned depending on the writer over the years, but she is technically one of the most powerful beings in creation.
But she just doesn't always have control over them.
She rarely has control.
Mm.
And so when she dreams, things can happen she doesn't realize. When she's under intense trauma and pressure, they've never said outright, but she can be a bit bipolar and reality shifts around her without her really realizing it. And sometimes she's gotten so angry that she's said something out loud that has then happened and people haven't quite realized.
Mm.
And so there's a storyline called House of M where she's being attacked and she decides that enough is enough. Mutants are in charge now and she changes the entire world so that the mutants are in charge and humans are subjugated.
That doesn't seem like something we'd want.
No. And then everyone fights back against that and she says, fine, no more mutants. And there were millions of mutants and an instant it was reduced to 196. And that stayed in the comics for like 10 years. There were no more mutants. So she's very powerful, messes things up. In the movies, we've just seen that Vision has died and lots of people came back from the snap. He died, so he didn't come back.
He died before the snap, I think.
Yes.
Well, in order for the snap to happen, he had to die.
Correct. It looks like maybe she's having a nervous breakdown and is building her ideal reality in her mind. And if you were to think about idyllic family situations, having not been one in yourself, you know, she was in a horrible Sokovian prison, being experimented on, all this sort of stuff. She's had a rough go of things. Then, of course, her idyllic life would be put together pastiche of different sitcoms.
Mm.
So this might be tripping through a weird mental hellscape that she's created. Alternatively, maybe she's living in a weird bubble and she's created a suburban life for them. There's one shot where there's two cribs and we see dummies spit out from the two of them. She creates children for her and Vision and does not realize that they are not real.
So it almost it's got a touch of an Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
And what's
vibe
that show, Maniac?
It? Oh yeah, Maniac.
And I think there's going to be we won't know what's real.
So now I'm wondering if maybe the sitcom thing looks great as a preview, but potentially is a very small part of the series.
What I think is that each episode is going to be dealing with a different era. So I think we're going to spend time in a 50s sitcom with 50s sensibilities, and then it will progress through as her mindscape deteriorates or as the walls start crumbling and she starts realizing
and
how
reality
not really,
starts to set in.
Because there are shots where she's wearing modern clothes, she's in color running through a black and white world. So I think there's going to be some of this. Apparently that's going to tie in very closely to Doctor Strange 2, which is the madness of the multiverse, which strongly suggests that if we're going to get Loki, which is jumping through timelines and potentially multiverses, and this TV show that's multiverses, then there's a movie with multiverses, you're going to have to see them all.
Gosh, it's hard work being a Marvel fan, isn't it?
There is a lot.
Oh, it's a lot going on.
You know what trailers were a lot simpler to follow?
What were that?
Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
They're going to fly some planes real fast.
It's what it was going to be.
Miles Teller has a moustache and looks a bit like Goose. Well done.
Somebody has to.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan's in there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's a good cast.
Yeah.
I'm keen for that. There's also No Time to Die, which is Bond 25. Various things happen.
It showed little bits that it showed a couple of new things that we hadn't seen in a previous trailer.
Yeah. It was just an
like the
add-on.
Plane thing, which kind of looked like a glider.
Yeah.
The wings folded out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looked really exciting. And watching Bond, particularly Bond trailers, ones like this, like quite solid, always makes me think we need another Bond game, but it's got to be like Uncharted. You've got to have that adventure thing.
I would happily take a fully restored GoldenEye.
Another GoldenEye.
Not another, just GoldenEye. Just tweak it up.
Remastered.
Yeah, that's it. Don't redo it. I don't need a reboot.
To make it look new.
You can't top that.
Yeah.
It was perfection.
We also saw Mulan.
Yes.
The live.
Doesn't that look epic and not quite as musically as I expected?
Do you know what? I think it's a weird mix. Because it's Disney, you know it's not going to be super gory. But it looks like it has the potential to be as gory as Game of Thrones, Vikings.
Yes. Look, Disney's plan over the last 5 to 10 years has been a further Chinese push, and this is a big thing. I am concerned for this film, and this is behind-the-scenes industry stuff, but China entertainment industry is an absolute wasteland right now with the virus and everything. Everything is shut down, so there's nothing new in production or filming on everything has stopped everywhere.
Mm.
Disney closed Shanghai Disney a week ago or something, and it's indefinitely closed. They don't know when they'll open again. Hong Kong, it's not a good time to be putting out a movie in China, is what I'm saying. And it's,
so when does this one come out? It's at late March, isn't it? 25th,
is. Yeah.
Yeah, soon.
Hopefully things are in a better position for it there because, you know, it's tailor-made for that market.
Mm.
It'll do well everywhere else, don't get me wrong, but, you know, this is...
It looks beautiful.
It does.
The only thing that I had a little problem with was that the Evil Witch gave me late 70s, early 80s Monkey Magic vibes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dubbing issue?
I don't know. I think it was the facial makeup and the stern look. So I've seen... seen that before, and Tripitaka was not having any of it. Yeah, anyway, we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's not far away, but it's also over a month away.
Yep.
Things could have calmed down.
Yeah, yeah, fingers crossed things have calmed down. The better.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
There was another brief... You know, this is like 4 seconds more. This wasn't at the Super Bowl, don't worry. Trailer for Impractical Jokers, the movie, which is coming out February 21st. I don't know about Australia. I haven't seen a firm date yet, but I'm sure there will be one soon.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for this film. It looked dumb. They meet Paula Abdul and she invites them to a big party that she's having in Miami, but she only gives them 3 tickets. There's 4 of them. And so they decide to have a road trip competition and the loser doesn't get to go to the party.
If you had to guess right now, and you do, who would you guess loses?
No.
You came up with that remarkably quickly.
I've watched a lot of that show.
Yeah.
And I know how things shake out.
Yeah.
If it was early seasons, it'd be Sal, 200%. Like, that's Sal. Sal's not going to that party. But at this point, Sal will suck it up. And the big stuff they tend to do to Murr. Mm. And if they're doing a movie with big budgets, they're going to mess him up. They're like, he's the guy that they force out of planes.
Oh, my gosh.
They once made him do a speech and, like, got a dentist to shoot him up with Novocaine before. No. They made him do another speech and on one side it had helium, like a tube, like the microphone was set up and he had to talk like this.
Mm.
And one side had a tube with helium and the other side, I can't even remember what it's called.
Oh, the one that makes your voice, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, really deep.
And so he had to do this really serious IT speech while using like, and they'd say in his ear, suck, suck. So I'm looking forward to that movie, but the trailer that won the week.
The big one.
F9.
So what made you think F9 was the top above Mulan?
Where do I begin? Perhaps with the word family. There was a lot of family. We learned there's a new family member.
Mm.
We learned that one of the family members that we saw is not as we thought.
Yep.
I don't want to say the name because you haven't seen it yet. I can't believe they showed it in the trailer. Can't be real.
I've seen articles discussing how on earth they're going to write that character in.
Oh, maybe he's a twin brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we don't.
I wouldn't put it past it. Yeah.
What was it? Beerfest, one of the characters dies and the next scene his twin brother shows up and insists they call him by the same name as the one that just died and pretend never happened.
Nothing ever happened.
Yeah. This movie's
so many questions.
So fun, and it's so dumb, and
it's going to make so much money.
And Ludacris is there, and
is Michelle Rodriguez there?
Yeah, and Missandei.
I'm not sure that these actors really have to do anything else at this point. They just wait for the next installment.
Oh, that's what Tyrese does.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them get out. Like, Ludacris doesn't do too much else. He might do one or maybe 2 movies in between a fast, but he's out doing albums and touring and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Vin's busy producing and voicing Groot and doing things.
Yeah.
Tyrese is just busy wigging out on Instagram for everyone to see.
It's the best platform to
it's a loose unit.
Make as many videos as you want of selfies.
John Cena, he's in the mix.
Yeah, he is too.
He's a bad guy. I promise you now, within two movies, they'll have redeemed him.
He'll of be course part they of the will. Team. That's part of his contract, right?
Yeah, this movie has to be the bad guy. The next movie, they team up with him to fight the next
the big bad guy.
Yep. And then the movie after that, he's officially part of the team.
When's that coming out? Do we know?
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Middle of the year?
Doesn't it have Cardi B in it?
Yeah. Apparently she's been in it a fair bit. She's been talking about it, posting up stuff on the gram, hanging out with
Vin, I think it was.
Vin Boy, yeah.
Anything else, or should we crack into some watching stuff?
Oh, let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
We will be talking about The Good Place season finale forever, very soon.
And Arrow.
I just don't think...
I'm not ready.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not ready to move on yet.
I'm glad...
When you're ready.
Yeah, I'm not part of it. So I might kick it off and say I had a watch of Awkwafina as Nora from Queens.
Sure, yeah. What thoughts?
I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah?
I only watched the first episode.
Okay. iTunes is featuring it very prominently.
I think there's only one other episode. I just haven't caught it yet. But I thought it was pretty funny.
Nice.
For a, you know, a half hour, don't even know if it was that long, episode.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it's just coming out once a week.
Nice.
Well, at least on the platform that I was watching it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's how it does.
The graveliness of her voice always surprises me when she speaks.
Sure. It doesn't look like.
No.
Yeah.
Very.
She's got the voice of a 50-year smoker.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. But it works really well with this character.
Nice.
And there's lots of highs and lows in there. One moment includes her grandmother showing her a photograph of her grandmother's lady bits and saying, just warning you, this is what happens when you go through childbirth. And she's like, okay, thanks. Can you not show me that anymore? That's the kind of level of hilarity that we're dealing with in this one.
Nice.
Yeah. What else did you catch up with?
I watched a show called The Explosion Show.
And?
It's Tori Belleci from formerly of Mythbusters.
Yep.
And Street Bike Tommy, who's from Nitro Circus. And the two of them.
Their powers combined.
Yep. It's a documentary show where the two of them each week go and spend a day with a different demolitions team.
Amazing.
So
what is it, like Discovery or something?
Yeah. And it's, you know, this week we're checking out what they did with mining. And they dig holes and they put amphora on the hole. And then they put a cork thing on top and it blows them out and out, and that shows how they trigger explosions in a certain way to make the debris fly in a certain way so they don't have to go and scoop it up afterwards. It just kind of piles itself up. It was pretty damn cool. But you get a lot of explosions. That's what you want from this sort of show. Some of them are, you know, there was one episode I watched which is testing Hollywood myths of, like, if you drive a car off a cliff, is it going to blow up? Which we know the answer is no. Very small chance it's going to blow up. So they spend a lot of time making a car blow up.
Do you remember, I don't know if they still do videos, but... They were like the guys that would blow up things in slow motion on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know if slow-mo they still do,
guys
but yeah.
Or something they were called. But they, if they were still around, they could spend a day with them and watch them blow up something small and very slowly.
Do you reckon the Will It Blend guy's still blending things?
Oh, that's right.
He blends a lot.
Always blending iPhones. He's like, I just got this iPhone. I sat in line for 24 hours and now I'm going to blend it up. Why?
Don't know. Moving on. Very briefly, I watched Space Jam this week for a weird reason of, like, I was bummed about Kobe and stuff. And there had been a time where a Space Jam 2 sequel with Kobe had been floated. It's now happening with LeBron.
That makes so much sense.
But it led me down a rabbit hole because there'd been all these other versions of potential sequels pitched, and some of these had gone to various stages of being a potential thing.
Probably during various eras of basketball.
Well, these aren't basketball people. Check out this list I've got for you. At one point, it was going to be retooled into being Spy Jam, starring Jackie Chan. It would have been Jackie Chan in the Looney Tunes world.
That would have been perfect. How did that not happen?
I don't know. Then there was going to be Race Jam with Jeff Gordon. He's a I think NASCAR or race car driver. Then there was going to be a golf version with Tiger Woods. Never settled on a name.
I don't feel as confident about that one as I do about the Jackie Chan one.
Well, this is the one that I'm really
into.
This
is the one?
There was going to be Skate Jam with Tony Hawk.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Hawk is uninterested in everything, and I love that about him. Like, he's excited, but it's always very muted.
He's a chill guy.
So chill. So putting him into the Looney Tunes world would be amazing. And can you imagine the shoes that we would have gotten out of that collab? I'm just saying.
Would Vans have gone all in?
All in. Mm. And you would have gotten, like, I bet they would have had, not Roadrunner, the turkey, not the turkey, the chicken.
What's his name?
Foghorn Leghorn. I could see Foghorn Leghorn wearing Vans low cuts, skanking. Black and white checkered ones.
Yeah, always.
Mighty Mighty Boss tones playing in the background. It's the impression that I get.
Any sort of ska would have been perfect for that whole soundtrack. Very different soundtrack to Space Jam, the original.
It would have been, but just so many good skate jams and Tasmanian Devil pulling tricks on the skateboard.
I'm trying to think who else you could have, like, in, if so, all right, we may be doing the LeBron one, but let's have a jam of a different nature.
That's what I wanted to talk about. Let's throw out a few options of what are some different sports stars, or not even sports stars, just people from random elements that you could chuck into a Looney Tunes world that would be hilarious.
Well, my first thought went straight to Shay's favourite, JoJo.
Sure. That would be a very loud, boisterous, colourful adventure.
A lot of colour in that one. But with their powers combined, with their audiences and fans combined, that is already a sure moneymaker.
Because kids don't care about the Looney Tunes at all.
They wouldn't even be on in the afternoons anymore. You'd have to watch them on something.
Yeah, you've got to go and find them.
Yeah.
And there's no Tiny Toons or the spin-off Animaniacs.
No, it's all stuff on YouTube that they watch. So you got to find another YouTube person.
That's it. If you did a Ryan's Toy Channel.
Yes.
And had him in the mix, he could probably, at this point, he could probably buy the rights of the Looney Tunes. I don't think it'd be too difficult for him.
No.
I don't know. I think I would love to see like a Harvey Keitel or an Al Pacino.
Yeah, right.
A very angry older actor.
Well, you just get all the actors from The Irishman in there.
Because originally I thought like a Bill Nighy or an esteemed English actor, but then I thought about it, and that's Muppets. Muppets love to get a Stephen Fry or a Michael Caine, that's their highfalutin, highbrow territory. Looney Tunes, that's not their style. Mm. They like broad.
Do you know who I reckon would be amazing? Mark Hamill.
He would be very good. He'd end up doing some of the voices too.
Yeah. You know how hard the Witcher fans are working in overtime and all social media to get him as Vesemir?
I could see Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Adam Sandler would be really good.
And he'd bring along good characters.
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, we could fulfill my dream of having someone crush David Spade and Rob Schneider with an anvil.
And if there's one person that would be able to get that to happen easily, it would be Adam Sandler. Do you know who would like to do it? But I think Adam Sandler's a way better choice. Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon would want that.
But Adam Sandler would be better.
Maybe Fallon can have a cameo for a moment.
Yeah.
Hosting the TV show and he's interviewing Elmer Fudd.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Or just the Roadrunner. And the only answer is, meep, meep, and then he's gone.
Interesting note, Roadrunner is the only character in that film that they use archive audio for.
I didn't know that.
Everyone else they recorded for, but the meep meep is so specific that they tend to just use the original files. I don't know why I know that, but
I love a trivial thing like that. That's brilliant. Oh, side note.
Yeah.
Went to a trivia night to raise funds for the bushfire appeal.
Yes.
And there was a question in there, and it was, name Alice's boyfriend from the Brady Bunch. And everyone went, Leah. And I went, really?
Sam.
It took me the whole round. We were at the very last question and people are, I don't know, pondering about something. And I went, Sam. Yeah. And we won that round by 1 point.
What's his job?
Butcher.
There you go.
And I was thinking Ralph, no. Max, no. And I had to think of Alice going, oh, Sam. I had to hear her voice.
See, didn't get that for me. I see her unwrapping.
Oh, yeah, the meat. Yep. Always in brown paper.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good trivia question.
It was a great trivia question. It was a good night. I like a good trivia thing until they get to sport.
Yeah, I get excited by trivia nights and then I get there and I crush it a few rounds and then, as you say, it turns into sports or geography or politics.
You've really got to have
I just want to leave.
You've got to have a good mix of people.
Uh-huh.
I find family, like, you know, cousins, uncles, aunts, like that kind of thing, where you all get on really well together, but you all have different hobbies and interests. It helps.
Complementary.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. We ended up coming second overall.
Nice.
With, once again, 1 point. We lost by 1 point.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam. What were we talking about? Oh, the jams.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
All of those jams. Also, there are some quality, very dated references in there. If you want to see Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam pretend to be in Pulp Fiction.
I kind of do want to see that.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's very, very dated. And also, it's a fun movie, but it's not until I'm much older that I realized that, man, Michael Jordan was like really into the idea of making a movie that made Michael Jordan look really good. Because there's not one moment in that film that questions his ability as the greatest of all time.
But that's how you become a champ, right?
I know, but even as a kid.
Yeah, right.
Even as a kid.
Yeah, right.
The conversation he has with his dad outside, Michael comes across as wise beyond his years. Ready. Like, oh.
MJ. Is that what they called him?
Yep. It's made it right at the point when he quit basketball and thought he could be a baseball player.
Oh, that's
player.
Right. He's a baseball player for a while.
Yeah.
And then became a basketball player again, right? Yep. And they went, I've actually finished.
Wayne Knight, he's in there. Bill Murray. Great Bill Murray through line cameo.
Anything Bill Murray's in is great.
Oh, yeah, but in this, you can tell that he really wanted to be involved with this movie because he like, forces himself into the movie.
No need for him to be there.
So there's a scene at the beginning with him. He's playing golf with Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And he's like, you should introduce me to some of the other coaches and stuff like that. I'm sure I could come in as a late pitch hitter. You know, I've always had some real skill. Maybe I could jump on and just come in the last, you know, shoot the last hoops for people and stuff, which is a very good Chekhov gun for later in the film when the Looney Tunes are down a player who arrives for no reason is Bill Murray. And someone says to him, Bill, how'd you get down here? You know, we're in Looney Tunes land. No one can get down here. How'd you get down here? And he says, oh, my assistant's friends with the producer.
That's
and
all.
That's the explanation the film gets. I wanted to be in the movie. I wanted to play basketball and be the winner at the end.
You do not need to know anything else about it.
Move on. I'm Bill Murray. I'm here.
Speaking of moving on, I caught up with the original, I should say, because both are quite old, Freaky Friday.
Oh, okay.
With Jodie.
So this is not Lohan.
No, this is Jodie Foster as the kid and her mother from the 70s. And I remember watching that as a kid and thinking, oh, so cool the way that can happen.
The freakiest.
The freakiest way. And it's so differently filmed to movies of today. It's so differently filmed to even how the Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis Freaky Friday is filmed. Like the filming style is very much of its time. And the way that they change characters is almost like that Scooby-Doo. It's almost that kind of thing. Jodie Foster, I remember watching her in that and Bugsy Malone as a kid. I don't think I've ever seen her in, was she in Taxi?
Taxi Driver.
Driver? Or
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, she's really good. Like as a kid, she acts like an adult. So she was always going to be good. Kind of like Shia LaBeouf. Like, as a kid, he acted like an adult
Sharpening
in stuff.
An axe. Sorry.
And it's a fun movie, but it makes me want to watch Pollyanna because now I'm into, like, the old stuff again.
I think it'd be really fun if sometime you and I maybe try and Freaky Friday on Shay that you and I have swapped. I've recently gotten into pulling elaborate pranks. Like, she and I prank each other all the time. The other day, I pretended she'd turn invisible, and I spent 10 minutes searching the house for her, with her getting in my way. And, Dad, I'm here. And me going, I can hear you. I just can't see you. Where are you? By the end, she was on the verge of tears. I had taken it much too far, and it would become real. But it was great fun.
So how did you let her down?
Oh, I tripped over her and then banged my head on the ground and pretended that brought my vision back. So I twisted at the end that it was on me, not her. It wasn't her invisible. It was something wrong with my eyes. But yeah. So I like the idea of a fake Freaky Friday.
Bad idea. Fun movie. What else have you been watching?
I caught the first episode of The Crystal Maze on Nickelodeon, the new American version, and woof.
Well, really?
It's much more for kids. The version that's been brought back in the UK was like a celebrity version originally.
Yeah.
And they had Richard Ayoade being very, very pithy. This American version is on Nickelodeon and it's hosted by Adam Conover, who you know I love from Adam Ruins Everything.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he's kind of just doing a bad Richard impression.
Damn.
And he has a very different energy. He's not snide. He's know-it-all. And it just doesn't.
It just doesn't work.
No, and I'm not watching a bunch more episodes to find out if it gets better. They're hour long episodes.
That's long for a kids thing.
Yeah, well, 42 minutes, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like hour episode thing. And now it's families, so it's the parents and their 2 to 3 children.
Parents ruining everything. Oh, trying to be funny when they're not.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's a kids show. I'm sure kids seeing it for the first time would be like, "Oh, this is great." But I've drunk from the nectar that is Richard Ayoade. And
he's a one of a kind.
He really is. And he set such a very distinct tone for it of disconnected dispassion.
So you either have to go completely differently or try you can't recreate.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
So anyway, I saw it. I was disappointed. I was like, oh, I even wrote down a good joke. I was like, oh, no, turns out Adam ruins everything. There you go.
Ba-boom.
Ba-boom. Another quick one that I watched and I look forward to seeing more of is season 2 of Miracle Workers started yesterday.
Mm.
Yesterday? Maybe the day before. Which was the first season was Steve Buscemi as God and Daniel Radcliffe as an angel trying to convince him not to end the world.
So they've mixed it up a bit, haven't they, this season?
Yes. So it's very American Horror Story type thing of same actors, completely different setting. This is in the Dark Ages. Daniel Radcliffe is the prince of a kingdom. He is hasn't even earned a nickname yet. By the end, he becomes known as Thaddeus the Pretty Cool or whatever.
Catchy.
His dad is Peter Serafinowicz.
Oh, yeah.
He has a fantastic voice and a very imposing king. Steve Buscemi is the town's shit shoveler.
Okay. Wow, they really have swapped around.
Yes.
Mm.
And the main character this time is his daughter, who was the new angel last season, and it's about the idea of fostering intelligence in women in the Dark Ages, and it's way deeper than I expected. You know, the idea of this young woman doesn't want to shovel shit. She goes to medical school, which consists of we get burned in the sun and things will kill us, and oh, here are your diplomas.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Thank you very much. So, okay, I know that you haven't seen the whole season, mm-hmm. but at the moment, which season are you in? Are you enjoying more?
It will be. I will need to see more to compare.
Fair enough.
They are there's no miracle this time. It's literally an anthology series just using the same actors.
Okay.
So it's.
It sounds interesting, though.
It's good fun.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1, you have been warned.
So we'll get into the Good Place season finale forever, ever, very soon, but the Arrow's happened as well.
I know, I had two of my favourite shows in the end in the exact same week.
Yeah.
And both of them had pretty solid finales.
Well, that's good because Arrow's been going for a very long time.
Yes.
And you don't want it to, particularly with the whole lead up and the universe, you don't want it to not stick that landing.
No, and it was very odd because Arrow himself died 2 weeks ago and last week's episode was a flash forward to 2040, and it was a potential pilot setting up his daughter taking up the mantle of Green Arrow and some of the canaries that are around today being more mentors in the future. And it looked pretty cool, and I was pretty happy with it. But the Arrow finale was a really good there's not many shows that get to wrap up and have an ending but finish with potential for some of the characters to continue on other shows that are still going.
Mm.
So they very clearly set things up that one of these characters could make the move in a flash.
Mm-hmm.
Another one will likely go to Supergirl. And then there's a Superman and Lois show later in the year, not Lois and Clark.
Mm-hmm. A shame, though.
Yes. They've been teasing for years that Arrow's best mate, John Diggle, doesn't have any powers, is terrified of superheroes. anytime he gets time traveled or portaled, or if the Flash runs him somewhere, he vomits violently, all this sort of stuff.
I reckon he's probably like most of us if superheroes were a reality.
That is the way he's played. The final episode very much focuses on him because he was the other part of the two-man Arrow team from the very beginning, and what he will do next. And it's all about him. Everyone else accepts that it's time to move on and starts finding other things, and someone goes on to become the mayor and all, you know, cool things like this, and he can't let go for a long time. And then he finally does let go, and they're driving to Metropolis, driving to Superman City anyway, and it's nighttime and a spaceship crashes. And at first you're like, oh, is this Superman? Like, are they doing another dig at the Superman thing? And he goes over instead, and there's a weird glowing light, and he gets closer, and it's a green glowing light. And they finally set up that he was going to become Green Lantern, which is something they've joked about for years. And so, you know, one of the crossovers a few years ago, someone from a different part of the multiverse was like, John, where's your ring? So they've seeded this idea that could be a thing. It may never. This is a thread that may never get picked up on Superman, but they've also clearly set it up that if they want to do that story there, they can. Mm. So it was this weird finale of the main character wasn't there, all the other characters were getting carved up to go elsewhere, and it ended on quite a nice note where his wife seemed to meet up with him in the afterlife or somewhere else, and they're going to spend their time there.
Nice.
It means that they can bring him back as the Spectre, like Arrow. They can bring him back as this ghostly afterlife character from time to time. Mm. I don't think they will very much. Mm. But, yeah, we feel pretty good.
Was it a longer episode?
No.
Okay.
No, normal length.
Didn't need to be.
Didn't need to be. They've been saying goodbye to him now for six or seven episodes, so it's been a long time.
Yeah.
The only Dharma staff with the initiative to plug the hole in the island. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Yeah. Speaking of afterlife,
oh,
good place. Done. When we first started to see Jason having a couple of words, I thought, oh, okay. Because you know how we weren't sure how the tone was going to go in the last episode? With the Jason thing, I went, oh, okay, less laugh, more feels.
Yeah, I think they killed it pretty well. They underlined it real well with what they told Michael about why, you know, human beings have to be a little bit sad all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what this episode was. It was a beautiful celebration, but it was a little bit sad.
It was a little bit sad all the time.
But the highlight of the episode for me was John running in. And saying, finally got with Alexander the Great, more like Alexander the Fine.
And Brent being trying to understand. But sometimes women do need to smile.
What if she would look better smiling? Like, so many cool. There was
just
a
little
bit of Simone.
Just a little bit.
Dress
the
bitch.
There's a lot of frogs. That's right.
A lot of frogs. I think they didn't clearly spell it out, but until they came with that, until Michael showed up with the live frog at the end, I thought Frogman was going to ask to go with Michael, and Michael was going to start a thing where demons or angels could move on. I thought Frogman was going to be over
it. I thought Frogman was going to have enough. I thought they did well with the explaining why people who would be very much in love with their partner decide to move on. They explained it as the fact that they've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of years together. Because it could have easily been with Jason and with Chidi, the audience could have very much not been offended, but I can't think of the word.
It could have been seen as a selfish move on Chidi's part.
Yeah.
And the way they played it was showing instead that he'd felt that way for a long time but stayed for her, and he couldn't keep it in anymore. And it was nothing to do with her. It's just he was done. He'd found that peace. And I think because we'd spent four seasons of watching him never come to a decision, that the fact he made that decision and then she fought against it and relented what looked pretty quickly.
Yeah. But it wasn't. It was years.
That's a tough call.
And then for Eleanor, it was like, well, what else does she have to do? And, of course, then we realised it was to
go and see Ultimate Derek.
It was so good.
Oh, my God. And his science talk held up.
Did it?
Oh, yeah. He basically suggested that he's now the beginning and end of time. He's a nexus that folds in on himself.
I can't believe he's smarter than Janet. Blows my mind.
I think I think he's evolved past the point of experience, though. So Janet's still learning. I think he's just now
he knows everything.
Repository.
Yeah. Because if you were to ask Derek what the afterlife, what happens after they walk through the door, he'd be able to tell you. But Janet said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Poor Janet.
Poor Janet. But she, Eleanor helps Mindy and then helps out Michael Realman.
That's right.
That guy delivers junk mail. And he had said that he'll never, the things he would never experience as a human, two of them were he'd never get to tell someone to keep take it sleazy. And he'd never receive really annoying junk mail that he'd just throw in the bin.
And
so the fact that someone else received junk mail for him, brought it to him, and it was addressed to Michael Realman.
He's the real man, guys. He's the real man.
Do you think he became an architect on Earth? Or do you think he just plays guitar?
And he just plays guitar. I liked the fact that we got the cameo of his
wife.
Teacher, yeah.
It was up there with Nick Offerman for best surprise cameo.
Mm.
I will say.
Nick Offerman I didn't expect at all. But with her I was like, oh, that's really cool.
I like that it means Nick Offerman just got into heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
no questions
not Ron
asked.
Swanson.
No.
That's him. I really wanted a moment with Michael on Earth where he tracked down, and we don't know where in the timeline things are, so all of this blah, but where he found Eleanor's mum and dad and became friends with the dad again. Do you remember he really hit it off? He was the architect.
Yeah.
He was doing like strip club Starbucks or something like that. It was Andy Daly, the guy I love from Review with Forrest Whitaker. Not Forrest Whitaker. Yeah. Forrest McNeil.
Right. Yeah. There were too many forests in this tree story.
There are. It was a beautiful episode.
It
stayed with me for days.
Same.
I dreamt about it. I could not shake it. I still can't really shake it.
How many times have you watched it?
Just the once.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to watch it again.
I thought maybe you would have watched it again. I thought this is something that Tom's going to...
I'm going to rewatch it again, but I had a very similar experience. I haven't found the words to talk about yet. I'm still trying to process it in a way. But this ending is so, so similar to the ending of Lost. And people hated that ending of Lost that I was really terrified that they were going to respond in the same way to this. Instead, everyone seems to be accepting it, open arms,
I
and
think
loves it.
This has gone down really well. I think we were talking about sticking the landing. I think they did with this.
So what I...
Even with a different tone.
Yes. Look, that's the issue. I will come back to it in another week or two and try and explain it better. But... what they had there was that place to process the things that they had done wrong in their life and improve themselves before passing on in a time of their own choosing is exactly what the Flash sideway is on season 6 of Lost. And everyone that hated the big thing at the church at the end, that's exactly what this episode was, except that was a 6-minute version instead of 2 or 3 episodes that this one has been. So I'm going to find a better way to explain this.
Yeah.
But there is a really strong correlation between the two shows of improving yourself in the afterlife and then moving on when you're ready with the people that mattered most to you. We finally saw the magic panda properly up close and talking.
That's right.
That panda has been in so many episodes, hidden in the background, standing on the roof, all sorts of weird stuff if you want to go back and see. And also, I haven't seen a screen grab to confirm it 110%, but when they go and see Frogman... I'm pretty sure Trevor, like Adam Scott, screams by. You remember he got flicked by the judge?
Really?
And she flicked him off into the netherverse and like he's going to be screaming. This is meant to be thousands of Baromies later. And for a moment, I saw something streak by and it looked like when Chidi saw the time knife and was being sucked around.
Mm.
But I swear that's Trevor's scream that goes by.
That's
so
amazing.
I want someone to find out whether that actually was, because that's the best hidden cameo.
That's amazing. See, one of the only shows that I can think of that people would agree to that kind of cameo.
Yeah.
Can you do a screen for us?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Quiz time. Which Sandra Bullock am I based on my IMDb synopsis?
Okay, so am I saying character name or just film?
Nah, just the movie.
Okay, good.
Yeah, let's not make it difficult. But if you do know the character's name, you can show off.
I probably don't.
Okay, great, because I didn't write them down.
I was going to say, I won't even say it now just in case I'm spoiling
anything. You can say that name later at about question 4. A lonely doctor who once occupied an unusual lakeside house begins exchanging love letters with its former resident, a frustrated architect. They must try to unravel the mystery behind their extraordinary romance before it's too late.
Is that with Keanu? That is The Lake House.
The Lake House. Never watched it.
It's pretty good.
I watched the trailer, though, yesterday to remind myself what it was about, and then I was like, I need to know the ending now, so I looked it up.
Oh, okay. It's a bit of a tearjerker.
It is.
It's a good one. It's
I really like those two actors.
I can't talk about this without spoiling things.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen it, so bits of it have been spoiled, but there'll still be other things. And it's worth a watch.
It's a good movie. From 2009.
Yeah. I think she put it out the same year as The Proposal.
That was on television recently.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Like after we had spoken about it.
Sure.
So I watched some of it and then an ad came on and I went, and that's the end of me watching that. Number five, Los Angeles.
Number five?
Yes.
Weren't we just on number one?
Oh, well, number five or two.
Oh, okay. Countdown.
It doesn't matter. The second one.
All right.
Los Angeles citizens with vastly separate lives collide in interweaving stories of race, loss, and redemption.
I want to say Traffic, but it could be Crash.
It's Crash.
It's Crash.
I've watched that movie. Not even back in the day. Like, I remember watching it maybe 5 years ago. I have no recollection of what it's about.
Me neither.
Until I read that.
Is Brendan Fraser in that one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was her partner in that. Would you like the next one, otherwise known as the third or the fourth?
Yes.
A computer programmer stumbles upon a conspiracy, putting her life and the lives of those around her in great danger. Do you know, is this the one that you know the character's name? Because it's written a lot.
It's the net.
Yes, yeah, the net. Okay, do you want to guess what year?
95.
Yeah.
Because it's 2 years after Speed.
Her name was Angela Bennett in it.
That's it.
You can see it. You can see it when you think about the movie.
Type in Angela DOS command.
That's right. The next one, Debbie Ocean gathers an all-female crew to attempt an impossible heist at New York City's yearly Met Gala.
Is that Miss Congeniality 3? No, that's Ocean's 8.
You got me then.
I know I got you then.
Yeah, she's Debbie Ocean. I didn't see the movie.
It's all right.
I think it would be fun.
It's got your girl Awkwafina in it.
She's in everything.
And Toni.
Collette?
Yeah.
I should have also spoken about a few others then. Isn't there a Kate Blanchett in there?
Oh, maybe that's who I'm thinking. Yeah, you're right. It's a Blanchett, not a Collette. I get the two of them confused.
Fair. I think that's fair enough.
That same thing stumped me on the Christmas quiz.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
It's like me with Laura Dern and Laura Linney.
Sure.
I mean, their names are super similar, but also they look kind of similar.
They do look a bit similar.
And they do similar sort of roles.
Mm.
Although Laura Dern is very busy at the moment.
Yes, she's
in everything. You want somebody in something, you put Laura Dern in it.
It's a denaissance.
Very good.
Thanks.
A pushy boss forces her young assistant to marry her in order to keep her visa status in the US and avoid deportation to Canada.
The Proposal.
Mm. 2009.
Mm. With Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. When the funny thing is he is Canadian, but he was the American in that story. It's crazy. It's wild. Finally, 5 years after an ominous, unseen presence drives most society to suicide, a mother and her two children make a desperate bid to reach safety.
What's it called? A Bird Box.
I was going to say, come on, think of the memes.
My head's just going, hey, Bird Brain. Hey, Bird Brain. I'm like, it's not Bird Brain. Remember what it is?
Bird Box.
What was the space one she was in?
Yeah, that was Gravity.
Gravity.
I thought that one would be too obvious.
I kept thinking in my head, Interstellar. Is that Interstellar? No, it's not Interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
And I was trying to think of what other ones you've been in. Miss Congeniality. Love that movie. Saw that when I was away. Michael Caine is so good in that movie.
That one and Speed and Gravity, I thought.
Too easy.
I've already got like the net in there and the Proposal, which we spoke about last week. I can't have any more.
There was one in there that I was really surprised. So surprised, in fact, you didn't have it in there. It kind of left me blindsided.
Oh, yeah. That was a real story, wasn't it?
She's been in some corkers.
That was her Oscar.
Yeah, good old Sandy.
Yeah, we like her a lot.
We do.
On that note, Tom, thank you.